Yankees. Game one will be Friday in Los Angeles. Now, forecast details from the National Weather Service for today. Sunny and very warm, a high of 81. Perspective on that number, normal high this time of year, 59. The record high is 84. Tonight, sunset will be at 5:59. It should be clear and mild overnight with a low of 53. And then on Tuesday, partly sunny and mild. Tomorrow's high, 72. Right now, we have sunshine, wind from the southwest at 8. 58 degrees in Kenosha and Racine. 54 this morning for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 minutes after 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is up shortly.
And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Once again, I am so happy to have in our studios Paula Clark, who is Marketing and Program Supervisor for the Kenosha County ADRC, the Aging and Disability Resource Center. And it is really impossible to calculate the good that this agency does in the lives of so many people. The elderly in our community and also those contending with disabilities of one kind or another, to help facilitate their engagement in the community and helping to facilitate that they can receive all of the resources that are due to them and can make their lives so much better. We're going to be talking specifically today, after some introductory remarks, specifically about Medicare. And for some of us of a certain age, Medicare is soon to become a part of our own lives. And for some of the rest of you listening, I'm sure Medicare is already very much a part of your life. And we're going to be talking with Tara Kilkenny-Santiago, who is the Benefit Specialist Supervisor for the Kenosha County ADRC, working with clients on matters related to Medicare. And of course, it can be a complicated area to explore and navigate. And so I have a feeling some very good information is going to be shared today to help make that journey a little more pleasant and beneficial, a little less scary. So Paula Clark and Tara Kilkenny-Santiago, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg.
Tara, did I get your name right the second time around?
Yes.
Very good. Great to have both of you here. Paula, before we start digging into Medicare, and we have, of course, a lot to talk about, let's talk first of all in general about the Aging and Disability Resource Center, just kind of the scope of all of the things that you do to make people's lives better.
Sure, and thank you so much for having us this morning. We're really happy to be here. So the Kenosha County ADRC has been around since 1990. We serve Kenosha County, and there's ADRCs throughout Wisconsin that serve all of the individual tribes and other counties. We are privileged to be here in Kenosha County, and we serve adults with disabilities 18 and over, and older adults 60 and over, and their caregivers. So pretty much anyone who has a question or is looking for a resource related to aging and disability, you're our people. We're looking to help you navigate those systems.
Right. So by the time you talk about like the direct recipients and those who care about them, That's almost everybody, isn't it?
And if it isn't now, it will be at some point in time. And sometimes it's just a neighbor that you're concerned about and want to provide assistance, a friend, family member. So really runs the gamut. We serve just about anybody.
So tell our listeners at least some of the things that you offer in terms of resources to the many people that you serve.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, we're a resource center. So any kind of questions, we have an extensive database that people can call and just ask us for resources, whether it's I'm looking for some care at home for my mom, what is available. We are also the long-term funding screeners for things like family care, iRisk, community care. So if you're looking for additional help with funds, we do those screens based on the standards that are set within the community. We have a loan closet, which is really beneficial to everybody. So if somebody's needing a walker, a rollator, a shower chair, something like that, they can give us a call, especially if their insurance isn't covering those expenses or their insurance hasn't kicked in. They can give us a call and see what we have available. It's a loan and supply closet. We also have incontinence products. So just give us a call. And we also take donations to keep that going. So keep that in mind. We have health and wellness, which is focused on falls prevention. Wisconsin is a huge, has a huge concern with falls leading to injury and death. So we really, really work hard to kind of reduce those statistics. We have a dementia care specialist. So if somebody's newly diagnosed or even further down the road with a diagnosis, or if it's a family member who has some concerns, we can help with that. And we do memory screens as well. We have the APS unit, Adult Protective Service unit, housed within our office. So if you have concerns for a loved one or neighbor or friend, maybe you think they're being financially exploited, maybe they're being abused physically or mentally, you can give us a call and we will check on their well-being. First and foremost, I always like to mention that our goal is to help folks stay within their home, wherever that is, whether it's a house or an apartment, safely. So that's our goal. We don't ever want to remove anybody from their home. We work really hard to make sure that they have the things that they need. Maybe it's Meals on Wheels, maybe it's some funds, maybe it's some caregiving at home, whatever that might be. And we have transition services for youth who are transitioning into adulthood, who may have a disability and may need some additional supports through that. And then, of course, we have our benefit specialists, both disability benefit specialists and elder benefit specialists.
And that is what prompts this particular conversation today. In fact, Paula, maybe you could just say a quick word about why you reached out to us at this point in time, this point in the calendar year, why it makes sense for us to be having a conversation geared very specifically towards Medicare.
Absolutely. So it's open enrollment time, and open enrollment starts on October 15th and goes through December 7th. And Tara can probably speak a little bit better than I can about it, but it really is looking at your Medicare Advantage plans in your Part D. Those change every year, and this is the time of year that you're taking a look at those and seeing if there's a change, maybe a prescription that you've been taking all along and it's been covered within your insurance and all of a sudden that's not covered. And if you don't look at those plans, you might not know that, and then you go into 2025 and find out that you have a higher premium. So we go through those and help you navigate through that kind of tricky and difficult website, if you will, and to help you to kind of pick those. We don't actually help you pick. That's the wrong way. We help you compare those.
So then you can make a decision, whatever is the right decision for you.
Yes.
Well, I can't think of a more important decision that a lot of people have to make. And I'm sure in many cases, people feel really ill-equipped to make that decision or those kind of choices. So I'm glad we can talk this through with Tara Kilcary Santiago, again, the Benefit Specialist Supervisor for the Kenosha County ADRC. Tara, how long have you been with them, and have you been doing this kind of work for a long time?
So I am have been very fortunate to join the ADRC, but it is relatively recent for me. So I joined the ADRC and specifically the Benefit Specialist Program in July of this year. And so have been learning as quickly as I can ever since so that I can help to support the ADRC, the program, and the amazing population that we get to work with. So prior to that, I've been in the human services field, but more on the youth side of services, so transitioning into this adult side of services.
And so most of what you do is what? I mean, on a, and particularly as we now have just entered this open enrollment period, what is the sort of the focus of most of your day-to-day duties at the ADRC?
Yeah, so our focus within the Benefit Specialist Program is to help, as Paula said, we have both disability benefit specialists and then we have elder benefit specialists. And so our role is really within those, within our team and within those roles to be able to support individuals that are age 60 and older or have identified as having a disability to be able to navigate really public benefits. What supports and benefits are available for them? And our goal is really to be an advocate alongside them. Our individuals should always be making their own choices. Our role is to be able to provide them unbiased, at no cost, guidance and information about the benefits that may be available to them so that they can make informed decisions about what resources may be best for them to utilize and be fully aware of what the possibilities of that may be.
Very good. Paula, I want to turn back to you for just a moment. I meant to ask this in your introductory remarks, and I think it's still a pertinent question. Does every county in the state of Wisconsin have something like the Aging and Disability Resource Center, or is this something relatively uncommon, perhaps even unique to Kenosha County?
No, it's very common. In fact, we serve every county. There's an ADRC serving every county in Wisconsin. Some of them up north, where it's a smaller county, will serve multiple counties, and we also serve the tribes. So, yes, there is a ADRC in every county. And then there are ADRCs now, and they started in Wisconsin, but there are ADRCs throughout the United States. We all function just a little bit differently, especially, you know, in a different state, but yes.
Very good. So, Tara, one of the reasons why I'm really happy to be having this conversation, even apart from all the normal reasons, is the fact that I'm 64 years old. So I am not yet a part of the world of Medicare, but right on the edge. I mean, you know, very, very soon this will be part of what I'm going to need to be doing. And maybe there are others who are listening who, for whom this is not a familiar terrain whatsoever. So just for a moment, could you talk about this on the most basic sort of level in terms of, for the typical person, when do they start to become eligible to receive Medicare benefits? And typically, what does that very first entry look like?
Absolutely. So Medicare coverage typically would start for individuals at age 65, would typically be when eligibility would occur, or individuals who've been identified as having a disability after a two-year period of having that disability, Medicare coverage could be applicable. There are a couple of standalone conditions that can also sort of preempt or lead into Medicare coverage being an option as well. But yes, typically that 65 mark as you approach that is, I would say, probably the most common, as well as 2+ years of having a disability determination.
Right.
Go ahead.
So I don't want to make this about me, but for the sake of others listening as well. So for instance, when I turn 65 early in 2025, as soon as I turn this age, and then should I be reaching out to Medicare or to you, or I mean, or to the comparable agency in Racine County? Is that how this begins, or do they reach out to me and say, "Welcome to Medicare"?
Yeah. So initial enrollment period for Medicare, and I'm going to follow the like approaching age 65 example. So, traditional enrollment period, or that initial enrollment period, which I do want to say is different than open enrollment, which we will be talking about. But the initial enrollment period actually spans a 7-month period. So it is 3 months before the month you turn 65. It includes the month you turn 65 and then 3 months after you turn 65.
Ah, interesting.
So we would encourage people, as you are approaching that window, as you are approaching age 65, that's the time to start looking into resources and start looking into some initial information about Medicare, about how it functions. It also, you know, there's also components you want to take a look at: what insurance you currently have, are you still working, are you receiving Social Security, a number of factors that come into it. It's a very individualized process in that there are general pieces that are the same. There's a general structure, but making the decision of coverage, when to start coverage, all of those things can be very specific from person to person based on a variety of factors for
right.
them.
And so for somebody like me, I really need somebody like you, I mean, to kind of walk me through what this means for me specifically and what might make sense for me or for anybody else who's about to enroll in Medicare for the first time.
It can definitely be helpful, yes. Yeah. So Medicare.gov is a resource that is available to everyone that can be a great place to get some initial information. But yes, we certainly encourage anyone who's wanting to have sort of a one-on-one or an individual sort of consultation to talk through, here's what I have, here's when I'm turning 65, or here's when I'm going to be eligible for Medicare. What are my options? What does that look like? If you're wanting more assistance, to reach out to us, and that would be through reaching out to the Benefit Specialist Program through the Kenosha ADRC. I will say, too, that from the months of January through September, through the Benefit Specialist Program, we also host Medicare workshops once a month at different locations throughout Kenosha County as well. And the intention is for that to be sort of a Medicare 101, if you will, an opportunity for those who have Medicare eligibility approaching and wanting to get sort of an overview of Medicare and how it functions and the different options with it.
Very good. I should mention that I reached out to my Facebook friends just to say that I was going to be recording an interview about Medicare this morning and to see if any of my Facebook friends might have questions that I could share with you through the course of this interview. And I heard from half a dozen in very short order, and at least two of them are exactly my age. And so two of them are about to navigate these same waters, or maybe already have begun or are soon about to begin. But as you correctly said, what we want to really particularly focus on is something that began last week on the 15th of October, and that was the beginning of this thing called open enrollment, which sounds like, if I'm understanding correctly, that moment when, in a sense, you reengage with Medicare and perhaps make adjustments in your particular policy. Is that what we're talking about in open enrollment?
Yes. So the open enrollment period is for those who currently have Medicare coverage, and particularly looking at two components of that. So one is called the Part D plan. So if they have prescription drug Part D coverage through Medicare, or if they have a Medicare Advantage plan, which is also known as Part C, including prescription drug coverage. So for those who have Medicare and have one of those two plans, the open enrollment period, as Paula said, runs from October 15th through December 7th of every year. And what it is the opportunity for individuals who have those plans to be able to take a look at, sort of reassess and reevaluate what their best plan option is going to be for the coming calendar year. So plans can change from one year to the next. So a Part D or prescription drug plan that you have in this current calendar year may have some changes coming to it for 2025. It may be that some of the medications that are covered are going to no longer be covered. It may be that they're going to be covered, but the coverage is slightly different. You can have premium changes. You can have pharmacy changes in terms of pharmacies that are identified as preferred pharmacies. So there can be a number of shifts that come with those Part D plans, as well as with those Advantage or Part C plans. And so the opportunity of open enrollment, and why we encourage everyone to take advantage of open enrollment, is that is the opportunity to look at your current plan and look at the information that's being released about what plans will be available in 2025 so that you can make an informed decision about whether or not the plan you currently have is still going to be the best for you, or if it may be time to look at a different coverage plan for the coming year.
Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the things that a given person might say is, I think everything's great right now. Can't I just sort of let it ride and not do anything at all through this open enrollment period? So first of all, I'm not that it would be a wise thing to do, but is that a possibility for somebody to just not do anything through this open enrollment and it would just roll through and Medicare just plugs you in or keeps you where you are, whatever, or would like everything stop or end if somebody does not do something during open enrollment?
I would say that it is best for everyone to take a look at their current coverage and take a look at the plan that they have. Now, if someone takes a look at their current plan, they have their current Part D plan, and they assess that maybe there's some minor changes, but this is still the right plan for me, then they don't need to take any action, and they'll continue on in that plan into the next year. However, not looking leaves it subject to if there is a change, if there is a transition, not knowing about that. And then as we enter into 2025, now things aren't functioning. I'm in the same plan, but now things aren't functioning quite
right.
The same way.
You're very apt to have some very unpleasant surprises. And how scary is that? I mean, especially when you show up at your pharmacy needing to get a medication or in whatever way, it could really be an unpleasant surprise, and maybe at the moment when something really serious is going on. So this really is something people should take a look at.
Yes, and it's also something that it's important to look at. There are some plans that in the coming year, or from year to year, I should say, there are some plans from year to year that exact plan might not exist in the coming year.
Right.
So you do want to take a look at what coverage you currently have. Now, recipients should receive and should have received in the month of September an annual letter of changes or an annual notification of changes and some communications letting them know about some of the changes that are coming or if there are changes coming for their plan in 2025 so that there is a look at that or if that plan may be ending or changing. But I would say regardless, we can get a lot of mail, and it can be hard to keep an eye on all of it. So I would say regardless, it's good for everyone to take a look at what their current coverage options are and what that looks like for them next year.
Right. I phrased the question as I did, and I appreciate you offering the clarification. For instance, the college where I teach and where I get my insurance, when we have this thing called open enrollment that comes up, my understanding is we must take action, and the potential is for the coverage to just simply stop in that next year if we aren't actively part of that open enrollment period. Again, that's my understanding. I might be misunderstanding it, but that's the way it's been conveyed to me, and so it's important to have clarity here. And again, we want to emphasize that is not a good idea when it comes to Medicare to just kind of let it roll because it all seems like it's fine, because chances are you may be experiencing some very unpleasant surprises at a moment when you really need the help of Medicare the most.
And you'd want to ensure, if you do have a plan that is ending into the next year, you'd want to make sure that you enroll into a plan to offer appropriate coverage for the next year.
Absolutely. For those of you just joining us, we have with us from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center, Paula Clark, Marketing and Program Supervisor, and Tara Kilkerry Santiago, who is the Benefit Specialist Supervisor for the Kenosha County ADRC. And we are talking about Medicare about a week into the open enrollment period and talking about why it is so important to take advantage of this opportunity to look at the coverage you currently have and to assess what changes already might be existing to take shape and take place in 2025, take effect, and then what changes perhaps you should be making in the kind of coverage that you have. So what typically is typically the process, how does this kind of assessment work? I mean, like, for instance, if the first part is to kind of look at what you're doing right now and what you have and kind of assessing how well it has worked and then what changes are on the horizons that might, you know, necessitate some kind of a change, what is the best way for people to kind of navigate this first part of the open enrollment process?
Yeah, so I would say one thing, as I said, would be if you've received an annual notice of change letter, to take a look at that as a starting point. This is sent out in September of each year to those who have a Part C, so an Advantage or a Part D prescription drug plan. This will contain starting or initial information about how the current plan that you have may be changing for the coming calendar year. From there, there are other resources that are available to be able to sort of dig into that more. That may tell me about, okay, this might be how my current plan is changing, but what does that mean in terms of being able to compare? And that's where Medicare.gov or 1-800-MEDICARE have some great resources to be able to explore this. So Medicare.gov in particular has a tool that's called the Plan Finder. And it's a really wonderful tool. What it allows is for individuals to be able to go in, enter in, you know, specifics of where they live. They can enter in the specifics of the prescriptions that they take, because that's a huge driving factor behind this, right, is making sure those specific prescriptions and what pharmacies they'll be covered at and the rates and those things. And what the Plan Finder allows individuals to do is to be able to compare, sort of cross-plan, what coverage would look like. Customized specifically to my zip code and where I live, the prescriptions that I'm taking, and then allow me to be able to see for myself what the different options are, what the premium amounts may look like in terms of like a monthly payment amount, which of my prescriptions are going to be covered and to what extent or to what percentage, and my different options to be able to look at across those different plans, sort of the different layouts that are available for me. And within that, be able to take a look too at specific pharmacies that maybe are easiest for me to use, or if I choose to use a mail order pharmacy, being able to look at those options and how all of those factors can come together to be a sort of very individualized constellation of plan options to be able to see those. And so Medicare.gov is a great resource for that. But just to, I guess, transition into beyond that. So it's still a lot to take and be a lot to take in, right?
Yeah.
And so if individuals are wanting additional assistance outside of that, or just saying, hey, this is a lot. Like I could use a hand in trying to navigate this information. Our team through the ADRC and through the Benefit Specialist Program, we host or have opportunities for Medicare open enrollment sessions, and ranging within that open enrollment time period. And these are at set locations all throughout Kenosha County, where individuals, by calling us at the ADRC, can indicate that they're looking to connect for an open enrollment session or appointment, and connect with us to really have, it is by appointment, so it's an hour long session with a benefit specialist to be able to sit down, and it's us sitting down with you, learning your specific information and using that Plan Finder tool, but helping to navigate through that Plan Finder and present with options so that individuals can make an informed choice about what plan might be the best for them. Or they may take that information from that appointment and say, okay, I want to look at my options. I'd like to take it with me, and I'll finalize my decision or finalize my enrollment a little bit later on my own, as long as that occurs before December 7th.
Right. We're, of course, specifically focusing on Medicare Part D, which is that prescription drug coverage component, and then this other thing called Part C, Medicare Advantage plans. So first of all, are there people who have Medicare without either of those? I mean, is that a possibility?
It is a possibility. So Medicare, original Medicare, would incorporate Parts A and B. So Parts A being your hospital coverage, Parts B being largely your outpatient medical services.
Okay, doctor's appointments and so on.
Yep, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then with that, there is the capacity for adding on a Part D plan, which is that prescription drug coverage plan, and also the option to add on something called supplemental coverage, which can be some additional coverage or supports to the original Medicare model.
And is that Part C?
No.
No, oh, okay.
So we would have original Medicare, we've got Parts A, B, you can add on D for prescription drug coverage, and then there is also the option to add on supplemental coverage, or what's called Medigap, to assist with coverage within that model. The other sort of option, or option two, if you will, is what's called Part C. And so these are Medicare Advantage plans. And so this is a Medicare-approved plan, but from a private company that offers sort of like a Medicare bundle, if you will. So it's a Medicare-approved plan, but it's from a private insurance company that offers a bundle of Part A, Part B, typically Part D as well. Most Advantage plans also incorporate a Part D or prescription drug component, but not all. Mm-hmm. And then Advantage plans can also sometimes have some additional benefits or items that they cover. So those are sort of the two, like option one and option two of Medicare coverage, if you will. And so open enrollment is an opportunity to look at Part D plans and also Part C plans to be able to make some changes. Now, to the question of whether or not you could potentially have either of those plans and not have a Part D plan, the answer is yes, you could. If you have a creditable source of prescription drug coverage through another plan,
okay.
Or through another source.
Right.
But it is important to have a creditable version of Part D coverage to avoid there being a penalty later on for not having that coverage.
Sure. And, of course, it's hard to imagine a scenario in which somebody wouldn't want this aspect of their medical care covered. I mean, because that could be, of course, so catastrophic if one came into a situation with absolutely no coverage whatsoever. So it is important. So within Part D, roughly at least, how many different versions or plans within Part D are we talking about? Because I think what you're saying is during open enrollment, we should look at these various plans and just look at the one that you have and then think about whether or not some other plan might be better. But how vast an array of choices are we talking about?
It is a pretty wide net. There are a large number of plans that are available. I don't have an exact count for you for the 2025 year, but there are a decent number, over 20 different plans that are available.
Wow.
For individuals in and some of those customized by area too. So speaking specifically to different options available within Kenosha County, there is a pretty wide net of different plans that are available.
And at least in general, what kinds of variations are we talking about? I mean, over the scope of those 20 plus plans, is it mostly a difference in cost and specificity of what they cover or so on? I mean, in general, what is the difference between these 20 plus plans?
Yeah, I would say ultimately it comes down to cost, but that's through a number of different filters, if you will. Mm-hmm. So one of the differences between plans can be the premium amount, so the monthly amount that is paid to have that plan. Another factor can be if a plan has a deductible or not. So a deductible that has to be met before the coverage comes in. Another factor from plan to plan will be what's called the formulary, which is just a term to refer to the list of medications covered under that plan, and also how those medications are broken out into tiers, which can affect the percentage or extent to which they're covered, the amount of that may be covered. So the formularies from plans can be different from one to the next. How those medications are tiered can be different from one to the next. So I would say it comes down to cost, yes, but cost through a number of different filters.
Right. So that's complicated enough. I mean, just the fact that you have all of these different choices to look at and assess and then ultimately choose one of these plans. But then, as you've already mentioned, there is this specter of change that is of some of these plans within Part D changing beginning in 2025. First of all, are these different plans, are they just numbered? Or do they each like bear a different name of some kind? I mean, how do we kind of just even keep track of them?
Yeah, so Part D plans are offered through specific insurance entities. So they do have a plan name and typically a number that goes along with it.
Okay.
Because that insurance entity may have a few different plans that they offer. So yes, there would typically be a plan name and there's usually a number as an identifier as well that goes along with that.
Great. So just to pick, not to pick a specific one, but let's say, you know, so Part D plan X is going to change in 2025. What would be an example of some of the potential changes that we might be talking about? In what manner might a given plan change?
Yeah, so one way that a plan could change would be, again, if that deductible amount is shifting. So if they're introducing a deductible to that plan or if the amount of that deductible is going to shift. Premium amounts could also change from year to year. So your premium amount that you've been paying for that plan in 2024 might look different headed into 2025. Looking at, as I said, the formulary component, that could shift as well. There may have been changes to whether that could be additions of additional drugs that will now be covered or medications that will no longer be covered. Or just a different structure, the extent to which they'll be covered. So that drug list, that formulary can shift and change. There can also be changes to like pharmacy options and the different prices at different pharmacies. So there can be what's called preferred pharmacies. And at times a preferred pharmacy, the price that you might see for your portion of the cost maybe, not always, but maybe better at a preferred pharmacy than at a non-preferred pharmacy.
And I suppose in some cases, people might have very limited options available to them depending on where you live. So something like that could be really, really critical versus somebody who lives in a metropolitan area where there's any number of different pharmacies they could choose.
Absolutely. So yeah, any of those factors could shift or change with a plan, or as we said, it could be that all of those things are going to stay the same, and you're set to keep on going into the next year. And but the only way to know is to take a look.
Right. This may be a question that's a little outside your arena of expertise, but I'm just curious. These changes that we're talking about, are we talking about changes that the U.S. government is making in Medicare, or in some cases, are these changes that are being driven more by outside entities that are participating in Medicare? I mean, outside insurers.
I would say that both of those things to the extent that I can answer would say that both of those things can have an influence, both from the individual insurance companies themselves, other factors, external factors, as well as larger structural components of Medicare.
Right. And of course, we all know about escalating medical costs and people have to stay in business, if you will, including insurance companies and, of course, Medicare itself. So there are ways in which these costs have to be managed one way or another. And, of course, this is one of the ways. And, of course, what we're talking about during this open enrollment period is people then making as good an assessment as they possibly can about what plan is going to be best in terms of their own needs. So we are about a week into this open enrollment period. Remind us how long this open enrollment period extends, and at what point within this open enrollment period do people need to make a choice for 2025?
Yeah, so the open enrollment period started October 15th and runs through December 7th. And so any point in time within that period, it is open for individuals to make a change, to review their coverage and choose to change or enroll in a different plan if they would like, up until December 7th. Hmm. So by December 7th, it is important if you are looking to make a change for your plan for 2025, that you have been able to do so by that time.
Right. And then those changes go into effect on the first of the year.
January 1st of 2025.
And a change can even involve a move into a Part C that you've not had before, but you can make that changeover if you so
you could,
choose.
Yes. If you had original Medicare and you chose that you would like to pursue a Part C or Advantage plan, that is a change that could be made during open enrollment.
Right. And you made passing reference to the fact of supplemental components that can add on still further if people have the resources to do that, that could be, in a sense, for instance, piled on top of Part D or coupled with them. Generally speaking, are those policies that, in a sense, have nothing directly to do with Medicare? Are those entirely like outside insurance companies and you just get a policy with them that just is in addition to what you have through Medicare? Or do they tend to be connected to Medicare, I mean, approved by Medicare and so on?
So Medigap, or those supplements, yes, to go along with the original Medicare component, are going to be affiliated with, or I guess it, approved by Medicare, but they are... I guess that's the best answer that I could give, is that there is affiliation.
Sure.
It would be there.
But these are outside companies. I mean, they are private insurance companies, generally speaking, or?
To my knowledge, yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. So let me ask you a couple of other questions that have come in from these Facebook friends, and feel free to say, I don't know, or this doesn't make sense, or whatever. That's perfectly fine. So here's one question that makes reference to something I've not ever heard of. It's, when is the donut hole going away and will Medicare recipients see the difference? Are you acquainted with that terminology?
I am, yes. And so we are starting to learn now, and information being released about the changes coming for 2025. The donut hole, for I guess a simple way to put it, dates back in that there would be a period of which your plan would be covering your prescriptions at a certain level. And then once you hit a certain dollar amount, there would be a change in the amount of what was covered, or a change in that coverage, until another amount was hit. Mm. And then coverage would kind of jump back in or pick back up.
Leaving a hole.
Yeah, so sort of leaving a gap in the middle for those that incurred some higher costs. So there are changes going into effect for the donut hole in 2025, in that that donut hole is no longer anticipated to be around in 2025.
Okay.
Which, to my understanding, is... predates my involvement, but that has sort of been the discussion that's been ongoing for some time, and it is my understanding that that is going to be fully going away in 2025.
Very good. Thank you. Another question actually involves something that apparently presidential candidate Kamala Harris has been talking about, and again, if this is something you don't have any direct awareness with, that's fine, but apparently Kamala Harris's Medicare plans, or hopes for Medicare, would be coverage of in-home long-term care rather than nursing home care. So shifting what that coverage kind of looks like. What part of Medicare does this typically affect? And are you aware of, I guess we're talking about a potential change, but a change that at this point doesn't even exist yet.
I don't know that I'd be able to speak to that one too
sure.
much. I apologize.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Here's another question. If one is generally healthy and takes no medications, Is a supplemental policy necessary? If an illness or accident caused a need for a supplemental policy, can you be denied due to pre-existing conditions? Oh, there's two different questions.
Yeah, two-part question there.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, what the coverage path or the best coverage path for any individual is going to be very much an individualized sort of decision, because there are a lot of different factors that can come into that in terms of when you're gaining access to Medicare, and again, other factors that are in place in terms of other coverage you may have access to and whether or not that coverage is creditable and those kinds of things. So I would say that it would really, you know, whether or not someone would need or would want to have supplemental coverage would really be an individualized decision based on that person's circumstance, and also for them to make a decision on what they would want their coverage to look like should there be a change.
Right.
So I would say that that part would be individualized. Now, can you say the second part of the question?
So if an illness or accident caused a need for a supplemental part of the policy, is it possible for access to a supplemental policy to be denied on the basis of it being a pre-existing condition, in a sense? I mean, do you have to try to secure a supplemental policy, in a sense, before you need it?
So there are time periods, yes, where there's like guaranteed issuance, essentially, where there's no capacity for a supplemental plan to for you to be subject to underwriting or examination of pre-existing conditions. And there's a window for that when you first start receiving Medicare coverage. If you are outside of that window and outside of that, then yes. If it's later down the road, that window has passed and you're looking to add in a supplemental policy, you can be subject to underwriting or looking for those plans to be able to look for pre-existing conditions when making coverage decisions.
Right. Okay. Very good. Well, let's circle back to the importance of people being able to seek out assistance. And again, it is a daunting task, of course, and it's an important decision that people are making, of course, about their own Medicare coverage. So throughout this open enrollment, through the 7th of December, which is kind of decision day, what help is available to them, and including but not limited to the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center?
Yeah, absolutely. So 1-800-MEDICARE is a great number that is always available to individuals directly as a direct communication path to Medicare. Medicare.gov is also a great resource. Again, that's where that tool, the Plan Finder, lives. For Medicare recipients, you can create a Medicare.gov account, and it will allow you to sort of save your plan information in there and be able to see that and take a look at that, as well as other information for your account kind of at any point in time if you create that. So that is always a resource as well. And then, of course, through the ADRC in Kenosha, Kenosha County, we are happy to be of assistance as well for during open enrollment period, but also for those individual Medicare or public benefit questions throughout the year.
Fantastic. Yes, very, very good. And Paula Clark, I'm sure you want to second everything shared, including all of the other resources that are available from the ADRC for anybody who might be listening and who might be in need.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'd like to encourage folks, if they are interested in enrolling in one of our sessions, to call sooner than later. They get booked up. Our first ones are already full. So please call us early and get scheduled. Like Tara said, we are throughout the Kenosha western and eastern portion.
Very good. And again, the phone number and website for the ADRC?
ADRC.KenoshaCounty.org. And we're changing to a .gov, so I had to stop and think a little bit. And our direct line is 262-605-6646.
Paula Clark, Marketing and Program Supervisor for the Kenosha County ADRC, and Tara Kildkerry Santiago, the Benefit Specialist Supervisor for the Kenosha County ADRC. Thank you to both of you for being my morning show guest today. It was wonderful to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Tomorrow on The Morning Show, the author of a hard-hitting book called Den of Spies which looks at the resolution of the Iranian hostage crisis and the possibility that people close to the Reagan presidential campaign engineered a delay to the hostages' ultimate release. And on Wednesday, a preview of Young Frankenstein with the Lakeside Players. On Thursday, Dr. Art Sear. Sunny today and quite warm for this time of the year with a high of 81 degrees, clear and mild overnight with a low of 53. Sunny tomorrow and not quite as warm with tomorrow's high 72 degrees, in the 60s for a high on Wednesday. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake.